From Iowa Public Radio News, I'm Ben Kiefer. This is The Exchange. On a day when we're hearing about more bad news for Toyota, we'll talk about the implications of auto recalls, not just for Toyota, but for other car makers and the auto industry as a whole. First, we'll talk with researcher Barrett Thomas of the University of Iowa. Thomas has studied Toyota's principles of lean manufacturing and continuous quality improvement for years. Then we'll also be joined by West Des Moines-based auto analyst Ken Chester. We'll ask him if this could reshuffle the deck for auto sales in this country. Do you feel less safe in your car these days? Join our conversation. It gets started right after this news update. This is The Exchange from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. More bad news for Toyota today. The car company is looking into possible power steering problems with its hot-selling Corolla subcompact. Also today, Toyota's president said he won't be attending the U.S. congressional hearing on the automaker's safety lapses. That's later this month. During the past 4 months, Toyota has recalled 8.5 million vehicles globally because of problems with sticking gas pedals, floor mats, trapping accelerators, and faulty brake programming. Well, this hour we'd like to discuss the implications of Toyota's recall crisis. What do the recalls mean for Iowa dealers and the automotive industry? What about other automotive recalls? At Honda, at GM, have you heard of those? What does this mean for the consumer? And what can and should we expect as consumers, quality-wise, from our vehicles? Are we expecting too much? Just some of the questions we'll be looking at this hour. And my first guest is Barrett Thomas. He's an associate professor with the University of Iowa Tippie College of Business. Professor Thomas has studied Toyota's principles of lean manufacturing and continuous quality improvement for years. He joins me in the studio of Iowa Public Radio in Iowa City. Good afternoon to you, Professor Thomas.
Good afternoon. Thank you for having me.
We'd also like to have our listeners join our conversation this hour as we discuss these recalls the entire hour. Has your confidence in your vehicle wavered after news of these recalls? Do you feel safe driving your car? How will this impact your car buying in the future? 1-866-780-9100, 1-866-780-9100, or email us, theexchange@iowapublicradio.org. And before we talk to Professor Thomas, I wanted to mention that we here at The Exchange have contacted numerous Toyota dealers across the state this week and last. We asked them to be on this program. They either did not respond or declined our invitation. Professor Thomas, what are your thoughts on this latest news, the widening, as we've seen in the past few weeks, the widening of Toyota's recall crisis, and now looking into possible power steering problems with the Corolla? We have to note there have been fewer than 100 complaints, according to the president of Toyota, on this particular, at this point, an investigation.
At this point, I think Toyota's probably looking at this and thinking, how much worse could it possibly be? So we might as well put everything out there at this point. And if there was any potential recall with this issue with the Corolla, put it out there now and sort of collapse the media firestorm to as short a period of time as they can.
So the same procedure as with politicians. If you have something that the media might get to before you do, it's best if you mention it first.
Well, I think that's true. And again, I think they would really like to sort of put an end to having to make recalls, and, mm-hmm. and so this is probably a good time for them to be doing that.
Toyota's president, Akio Toyoda, said today he won't be attending the U.S. congressional hearing on the automaker's safety lapses later this month. Should we read anything behind that?
I don't think so. For one, Toyota is a global company. He's based in Japan, and they have he has leadership that he's put in place in the United States to run, or North America at least, the operations here. And the person he has here is, as the president of Toyota said himself, probably more up to speed on the issues that are most important in the American market. And particularly at this time, it's probably most important mm-hmm. for that person to go. But that said, there's a risk, of course, because they clearly are fighting a public relations battle at this point.
Mm-hmm. And by not sending their top dog, they may be I don't know, perhaps offending some people in Congress.
They may be offending people in Congress, and they also may be sending a message that the issues aren't the most important thing to them right now. So that's the risk they face. But I think that the leadership here is probably just as capable.
So we've been through sticking gas pedals, floor mats, trapping accelerators, faulty brake programming. How much measurable damage has been done to the Toyota brand so far?
Well, at a minimum, they're going to take a massive financial hit in the short term for a number of reasons. One, they've got to do the fixes for the recall. And then at the same time, they've for a period of time had stopped selling cars. They've then, and in some cases, halted production of the vehicles. So that's going to impact future inventories. And then I think it is the brand question. And I don't know that we have a definitive answer to that question right now. There's clearly anecdotal evidence. You're seeing it on the nightly news that there are customers who will refuse to now buy Toyotas. They don't feel safe. Mm-hmm. But we've also heard from customers who feel safe in their Toyotas given – and this is where Toyota has a benefit. They have a very long history of quality vehicles, particularly here in the United States, and that should benefit them. That confidence won't be eroded overnight, but nonetheless, it's something they certainly need to be very aware of.
Sort
right
of like akin to a personal relationship. You have a 20-year relationship with a person, and then there's a blip on the radar. You tend to be more forgiving than if that relationship had not been so long.
Yes, I think that's true. And the other thing that may be difficult though is getting new customers in. If you've had longtime loyal customers, that's the kind of relationship to which you were just speaking. The new customer, however, may be a little bit more reticent to go with the Toyota at this point.
Someone at Toyota, a company person that we had on the air, speculated that the company – one of the reasons behind this might be the company expanded much too quickly. It is the number one car manufacturer now in the world, surpassing GM. Was that in 2009?
Right.
Would you agree with that assessment?
So there is a lot of talk, particularly in the circle of people who are interested in what you mentioned at the top, the lean manufacturing or the Toyota production system, which is a philosophy for how you conduct your business, improve your processes, and create greater value for the customer. And a lot of those people, me included, think that Toyota did shift their focus, particularly in the last half of the decade, from one that was a measured growth approach to one where I think they recognized GM was weak and there was an opportunity to become the biggest car manufacturer in the world. And they did that. But in doing that, you have become a much larger company faster, and this is going to spread your resources thin. It's difficult to bring in new employees. And particularly in the case of somebody like Toyota, who has such a disciplined approach to the work that they're doing, to get all of those new employees on the same page is difficult in any short period of time.
Can we decipher at this point, based on what we know, what exactly went wrong at Toyota? Was it in the design area? Was it in the production? A lot of Toyota production is done right here in the United States.
Yeah, no, Toyota produces most of their North American vehicles in the United States. And at this point, my initial reaction to the recall regarding the gas pedal and then the Prius brakes was that seemed to be a design problem. Now, when you see something like this most recent discussion, not a recall yet, but discussion of the issues with the Corolla, you start to wonder about potentially a manufacturing issue. But nonetheless, that is such a small number of vehicles on which they've had complaints. It's difficult to draw any conclusion about that.
Is a Toyota manufactured in the United States different than one that is produced in another country, in Japan? Are there different production standards, do you imagine, here? Or is Toyota absolutely running a tight ship around the world, it will be made this way, whether it's in the United States or another one.
Well, certainly their intention would be to have the same standards for manufacturing here as they would in Japan. And there's no reason to think, you know, unlike in the early 80s, there was some speculation that the American you know, manufacturing workforce wouldn't be capable of meeting the standards of the Japanese workforce. That's totally untrue. It's more about process, and it simply takes time to get the right processes in place. What could be, though, that would be related to that as an issue is that as you expand and you're expanding now into the more manufacturing into the United States, for instance, they built the Tacoma pickup line down in Texas – is that, again, these are newer employees. It's not that they're as good or you're not holding them to the high a standard, but they're newer. Mm-hmm. And hence, they just may not have the experience. And that's speculation, but that's one possibility.
Does culture figure into this at all? Japanese culture is different than culture in the United States or in the southern United States. Would a manufacturing manager figure in culture?
We're certainly – you know, obviously there are cultural differences, but where the management again would have a major influence, particularly when you think about the kind of style that Toyota is going to put in place. Toyota is going to put in place a system of systematic focus on continuous improvement. Now, to do that, though, you need very disciplined management. And again, if you were expanding very quickly, you've spread that management capability thin. You haven't had the time to bring new managers up to the same level of training and experience as some of the managers with longer tenure. As a result, you may not be able to maintain that same focus in some of the newer sites.
Mm-hmm. Is this your guess, educated guess, what has happened in
Toyota?
That's
an educated guess as to what's happened. That's right.
Okay. How would you grade Toyota's reaction to the recalls at this point?
I think they got caught off guard by how quickly the issue escalated on them. And it's also true they were slow to respond. The problem they're facing is that it didn't begin with the brake issues, say, on the Prius. And as a result, it began with deaths of some of their consumers. And that's a big problem, and they need to respond immediately to that.
Okay, very good. We'll come back with Professor Barrett Thomas of the University of Iowa Tippey College of Business. He studied Toyota's practices for many years, commenting on the recall crisis at Toyota. But we want to expand our discussion to other manufacturers, of course, with recalls as well, when we come back, see what the auto industry has learned from this latest chapter. If you'd like to join our conversation, 1-866-780-9100, 1-866-780-9100, or the exchange at iowapublicradio.org. We'll be back in 1 minute. Back with the exchange from Iowa Public Radio, I'm Ben Kiefer, asking you to join our conversation this hour. Hear in the news more things about Toyota, now questioning possibly the power steering problems with the Corolla subcompact. This is after a list of other recalls. This is not at the recall stage yet. They're just investigating. But has your confidence in your vehicle wavered after the news of these recalls? Do you feel safe driving your car? How will this impact your car buying in the future? Perhaps now, perhaps you're in the market for a car, and these news items have changed your mind. 1-866-780-9100. 1-866-780-9100, or email us, theexchange@iowapublicradio.org. I know your expertise is with Toyota, Professor Barrett Thomas of the University of Iowa Tippey College of Business. But what are other manufacturers now doing since Toyota is stuck here in the mud, so to speak?
Other auto manufacturers?
Yes.
Well, clearly they're hoping to take advantage of the situation, and we've seen recently particularly domestic automakers, Ford and GM, offering incentives to current Toyota drivers, hoping to lure those drivers onto their lots and put them in Fords or GMs, because that customer might feel safer mm-hmm. getting out of the Toyota product.
Is there any empirical data, polling data, that we know we can just measure how loyal Toyota buyers are? We hear that again and again that they're loyal, but I suppose right now researchers such as yourself are would love to have the data. It's just how far. How much bad news can you have and still remain a Toyota buyer, for instance?
That's a good question. I don't know the answer to that, though. Okay, but certainly that would be interesting.
Okay, let's go to our first caller. Craig is joining us from Muscatine. Good afternoon, Craig. Welcome to The Exchange.
Yes, thanks for taking my call. I wanted to ask the professor if he was aware of are there lawsuits available in Japan? I heard a commentator this morning say that in Japan they cannot be sued for deaths, and that Toyota is a babe in the woods as far as dealing with a public relations disaster such as this. And I'll hang up and listen to see what he thinks about this.
I believe Craig's referring to some reporting done on NPR's Morning Edition this morning about this is all new for Toyota. They've been on a steady climb uphill towards success, and this is the first significant resistance that they've felt or problems that they've encountered on the road.
Yeah, that definitely does seem to be the case. Now, I don't know what the product liability laws are in Japan itself, but certainly they would be at risk for those lawsuits here in the United States because they are selling that product here. And at the same time, I think you would have to agree with the caller that they do they have looked like a babe in the woods. The gold standard for how you respond to one of these crises is Tylenol's response to the tampering scare in the 1980s, where they issued a swift recall, and that really helped to keep consumer confidence in the company. And this issue has been percolating for a while with Toyota, and clearly they've lost the control of the message.
Denny is joining us from Ottumwa. Good afternoon, Denny. Welcome to The Exchange. Have you a Toyota owner?
Yes, I am.
What do you make of all the media reports in our discussion today?
Well, I've owned Toyota since 1976. I bought my first one. And I've owned several, and I see no reason for changing now. As far as the recall, all the major manufacturers have had recalls on their products over the years, and this Senate committee hearing that they're supposed to be having, I heard on the radios that they're the Senate's looking into Toyota's problems. Isn't that a conflict of interest when the government owns General Motors and Chrysler?
I don't know.
I find that a little difficult to grasp when they're making the rules to apply to the top-selling auto maker in the world, and they own two auto companies.
Okay, let's see if we can get a reaction to that, if Professor Thomas would like to chime in on that.
I hadn't even thought of that until the caller brought it up, but it is certainly an interesting issue that they would be holding hearings as ostensibly owners of two domestic automakers.
Okay, let's go to Frank in Bettendorf. Good afternoon, Frank. Welcome to The Exchange.
Thank you. Great show.
Yeah, go ahead. What's on your mind?
Well, I've heard more about these recalls than any other time in my life, and I remember the huge recalls of Ford and GMC, which are much larger than this.
Mm-hmm.
And I just wonder why you just continue to go on, and not just you, everybody else on Toyota. Is it because you're a Japanese company or what? I mean, these guys make great cars, have forever.
But if there are safety issues, you would want us to report here on them in the media, wouldn't you? And when a company like Toyota says, listen, we've had about something like 100 complaints and possible power steering problems with the Corolla, as they did today, you would want to know about that and have us talk about it, wouldn't you, Frank?
Well, I've heard a lot about it, not just your show.
Right?
It's every day for the last 2 or 3 weeks.
Okay, let's talk about the wider question, though. Is the media, the news media, not just us, but giving Toyota a fair shake here? There are recalls. For decades, we've had car recalls, and Toyota is certainly not at the top of the list, are they, Professor?
No, I don't think so. And you know, the caller probably remembers not too long ago there was a large recall on Firestone tires that were affecting Ford Explorers. And, you know, I don't remember exactly if that went on for 2 or 3 weeks as we've had with Toyota, but that certainly was in the news. And I think in both cases, the big issue is that, unfortunately, there were deaths associated with both of these products. And I think that's, you know, the key in this case is that with the accelerator, it's been associated now, I think, with 34 deaths since 2000. And there's just simply no company, and I really don't know anybody who would think that that was okay. Mm-hmm. And you know, at this point as well, you know, I don't know that it's an issue that this is a Japanese company. I think that rather they are the largest automaker in the world, and they've stumbled here.
Right. And perhaps also because, I mean, if this was a recall, a series of recalls coming out of Ford, it would be less – it would be – well, let's just – it's unexpected coming from a company like Toyota, which for – in terms of reliability has set the gold standard.
Absolutely. Toyota has – I mean, the reason that Toyota has in large part grown because they – as they have is because they were providing you know, higher quality vehicles, particularly in the 80s and 90s, than the domestic automakers were. Now, that being said, you have companies like Honda who are often associated with the same level of quality. But interestingly, they just issued a recall as well, affecting many fewer vehicles for an airbag issue. But we saw very little coverage of that. Unlike we've seen with Toyota.
Okay, very quickly, if we can, before the break, Alicia from Cedar Rapids, welcome to the program. Quickly, please. Alicia, are you there?
Yes, I am. Hello.
Yes, we have about a minute before the break. What's your question or comment?
I was just going to say, I've been driving Toyota since I'm 16. This doesn't defer me or take away from my want to drive a Toyota. And I love the brand. I love the vehicle. And I drive one of the cars with the serial number that's affected by the pedal. And so I do think the news media has over. I think that Toyota should step up. I haven't received anything from Toyota. I've been the one that had to have to go out and proactively seek it. But it will not differ from the gas mileage that we get from a Toyota or anything that, you know, anything that's interesting in the Toyota. So I just kind of wanted to say that because it seems like the news media has been, not just you guys, but the news media has been going on and about it. So,
okay. Alicia, thank you very much for that. And by the way, this is our very first show about the Toyota recall. Point taken that the news media, perhaps the opinion of Alicia, that piling on more than is necessary. We'd also like to have you join our conversation when we return after a short break. Has your confidence in your vehicle wavered after news of these recalls? Perhaps you're a Toyota owner and would like to express your opinion. Do you feel safe driving your car? How will this impact your car buying in the future? 1-866-780-9100, 1-866-780-9100, or join us via email with your comment, theexchange@iowapublicradio.org. And when we come back, we'll also be joined by West Des Moines-based auto analyst Ken Chester. We'll ask him what the Toyota recalls mean for the U.S. auto industry as a whole. When we come back, this is The Exchange from Iowa Public Radio News. And we're back with The Exchange from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. Today, talking about the implications of Toyota's recall crisis. More bad news for Toyota today. Perhaps you heard it. The car company is looking into possible power steering problems with its Corolla subcompact. During the past 4 months, Toyota has recalled 8.5 million vehicles globally because of problems with sticking gas pedals, floor mats, trapping accelerators, and faulty brake programming. We're talking about the implications of auto recalls, not just for Toyota, but for other car makers and the auto industry as a whole. With us in the studio in Iowa City, Barrett Thomas. He's a professor, associate professor at the University of Iowa Tippey College of Business. He has studied Toyota's principles of lean manufacturing and continuous quality improvement for years. Joining us now by phone from West Des Moines-based auto analyst Ken Chester. He is president and CEO of Motor News Media. Good afternoon, Ken.
Good afternoon.
Wonder if you've been hearing the first part of our program?
Yes, I have.
Okay, very good. Want to mention, too, at this point that for this show, we contacted a number of Toyota dealers across the state this week and last, asked them to be on this program. They either did not respond or declined our invitation. Let me ask you, first of all, before we get back to, we were talking about the possible, you know, the media's reaction to the Toyota recalls, whether that's fair or not, whether that's piling on. But let me ask you, Ken, first of all, your thoughts on the latest news today, the possible looking, Toyota now saying it's looking to possible power steering problems with the Corolla.
Well, you know, as it was mentioned earlier in the program, there is a risk in doing that in an all-or-nothing, all-in situation. On the one hand, it's good to try to get in front of the news if there is any bad news. But on the other hand, for someone who might be considering a product for the first time, wonders if they've got all this, and now I'm hearing about all this for the first time, what else may be going on that they haven't told us about? So it's kind of a chicken and the egg issue.
You study the auto industry as a whole. You test a lot of vehicles. Mm-hmm. What do all of these vehicle recalls, including those for Honda and GM recently, mean for the automotive industry as a whole?
Well, let's go back for a minute. I don't think personally that the press is treating Toyota any less than Ford or GM or even Chrysler. People forget about that rollover issue with the Explorer, which was mentioned earlier, and the number of deaths, and they keep hammering it over and over. And in fact, it's why most vehicles today have tire pressure monitoring systems because of that issue. You know, I was writing as I was listening, and I was remembering the type of recalls that had been gone on the last 15, 20 years from the Audi accelerator issue to the Suzuki Samurai to GM diesels before that to the issue that Ford had a while back with ignition problems and ignition fires. So in each case, there was a big to-do. There was a lot of press. It tends to drag everything out of the woodwork, legitimate or otherwise, that gets a lot of mileage at a time like this.
I wanted to read an excerpt from a letter sent out to customers by Mark Drusicki. He's of Toyota Scion of Iowa City. This was a form letter sent out. An excerpt from it. You've no doubt heard about the recalls affecting certain models of the Toyota line. Some of the media coverage has been fair. Some of it has not. Recently, I was interviewed by two area TV networks. One report was factual, informative, and helpful to consumers. The other was edited in such a way as to completely change the context of my statements. So if I'm hearing you correctly, Ken, what you're saying is with any big media event, the media is going to act correctly in some cases than other. The media is not a monolithic thing. There are people working in the media. Some make mistakes.
Yeah, well, make mistakes, and some tend to accentuate the negative. You get three people in a room, you've got three different opinions and how it should be covered. A lot of times there's a lot of noise with a lot of factual information mixed in with the borderline, maybe it's true, maybe it isn't, and rumor and hearsay. A lot of times it's a matter of time that the smart consumer just takes a step back and let the noise die down, and the facts tend to come to the surface.
Let me ask you quickly the same question I asked Professor Thomas here. How much damage has been done to Toyota at this point?
This is a different time that we're in. As I was listening to some of the callers call in, they were longtime Toyota owners, and these were people who came out of disappointing experiences back when Detroit wasn't doing all it can. Today, it's a much more balanced playing field in terms of quality. You can't even anymore go automaker by automaker and say that every model in this automaker is high quality and every model of this high quality of this automaker is not. You literally have to go model by model. And it's I think that if you are younger, that I think the damage is right where Toyota least needs it right now. With younger buyers that maybe don't have experience with the brand, maybe don't remember when Detroit wasn't up to par like they are today, as opposed to older owners who have had experiences and have had two, three, four Toyotas of you know, excellent quality and saying, you know, I'll just wait till the dust settles, but I'm not going to change my mind.
West Des Moines-based auto analyst Ken Chester. Ken, you test hundreds of vehicles every year.
Mm-hmm.
Have you noticed, we talked about quality, has there been a decline with Toyota or other makes? Have you noticed any decline in quality?
I have not noticed a decline in quality per se, but you almost have to define quality. The word quality itself, as far as the auto industry is concerned, has gone through what I consider maybe three generations. The first one, which Detroit keeps harping on, but ended like 20 years ago, is things gone wrong. And to that end, pretty much every auto manufacturer selling vehicles in the United States today has crossed that. It's unfortunate that Toyota has gotten caught up in this. It was probably, you know, an infinitesimal number of vehicles affected. But you're right. It was mentioned earlier that no deaths due to product malfunction are acceptable. That's true. And it's it's unfortunate. If you have machinery, you have risk, regardless of who makes it.
Let's get some callers into our conversation. 1-866-780-9100. Ray joining us from Maquoketa. Hi, Ray.
Hi.
Yeah, go ahead. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Well, I was just wondering, you know, Americans have like a love relationship with their cars, like part of their family. And everybody's got their brand they're loyal to, you know, GM, Ford, everybody's got their, I'm a Ford man, I'll never change, blah, blah, blah. Now, are these Toyota owners catching a bunch of flack from their neighbors? Because they, you know, are obviously loyal to Toyota, they've been driving for 20 years. So, you know, I was just wondering, how many Toyota owners that are going to be calling in have been catching flack over the safety issues and stuff like that?
And would that affect their decision in buying another Toyota? Interesting
yeah.
question, Ray. Maybe we'll hear from some loyal Toyota callers and ask them that question. Ray, thank you very much for calling from Maquoketa. Let's go to Craig. Craig is joining us from Cedar Rapids. Good afternoon, Craig.
Hello?
Yes, Craig, you're on the air. Go ahead.
There's two things. As cars become more, as the functions of cars become more integrated with the computer in the car, I just wonder if that's a very good idea. And secondly, the trouble with lean is that you reduce the workforce down to the bare bones minimum and you dump as much work as you can get by with on the remaining employees up to and including injuring them. And I think it has inverse consequences, which may be part of the problem with Toyota.
Professor Thomas, you've studied Toyota's principles of lean manufacturing, and Craig mentioned lean there. Is that part of the problem?
Well, I think that what can happen is that companies can look at lean the wrong way as an opportunity to reduce the workforce. In contrast, though, to the caller's comment, particularly those companies with which I've had the pleasure of visiting with in the state of Iowa, those companies, number one, I don't think are looking at lean as a workforce reduction technique. In fact, if you want to sustain it over the long term, you can't ask employees to both improve the process and then turn around and lay them off because they did, because you'll never get their buy-in to help you improve that process. At the same time, a lot of these companies have a lot of focus on actually improving the workplace ergonomics, making it a safer environment. So when done right, and if you employ the principles in the correct way, in fact, you should get the opposite effect than what the caller's saying. But I mean, he is right that there have been instances where it's been misused, but those companies aren't going to sustain the program for very long.
Ken Chester, you just returned from the 2010 Chicago Auto Show, I understand.
I did.
Any sign there or talk, grapevine at the very least, of the recall crisis?
Not a word. Well, in the press conference, Toyota dealt with it head on. And talked about it and what they were doing to resolve it. But one thing I wanted to touch back on, particularly the caller, because it kind of struck and we didn't deal with it because he brought up two points.
Mm-hmm.
Real quick with lean manufacturing. Lean manufacturing also includes the reduction of what we used to call work in progress materials that there were bottlenecks in the reduction of inventory and more focus on the engineering of individual parts and processes so that it was done right the first time. I've toured a number of assembly plants, both foreign and domestic, and I can tell you that process that's lean, more it's so much more, and I think the professor will agree with me, than mere headcount. It's the whole thing of how things are done and how things are engineered, and by squeezing that and paying attention to each individual part makes the whole process better. And also, Craig had mentioned, the previous caller, about computers.